Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
He just formed a fucking wall.
O'Neal deep in the post, lots of contact there. Oh, what a block by Wallace! What a jump ball!
Pistons down 4, 12-8, 7-38 to play the first. A burst from Rodney, stuck into the rim! Count up, baby, and a foul! Reggie inside for Andre, and a dynamite dunk!
Pistons fans, hello and welcome to another edition of the Palace of Pistons podcast. Brendan Johnson and Aaron Johnson with you this week, missing Ryan Pay, but Aaron, we're here to talk some big-time Pistons basketball, but happy 2020, and how's the new year treating you so far?
Yeah, it's going well, Brendan. You know, we definitely miss Ryan here, had a few weeks off with the holidays and haven't been able to, you know, get together and record a pod, but, you know, we're going to hold down the fort today without Ryan, and it was important that we got together here today because there's so much to talk about with the Pistons, which is crazy because with the way that they've been playing, you really wouldn't want to talk about the Pistons. But with what's been going on just in this last, you know, week or so with Detroit, even the last, you know, three or four days, there's a lot of stuff to talk about now, and it should lead to a fun and exciting conversation.
Well, it should. There's a couple of big things going on, and it kind of reminds me of the NBA offseason because – in the offseason, you're talking about future hope. You're talking about things you'd love to see. You can get a little more creative. You could talk about ideal situations. And then once you get into the regular season with the way this team has played, you haven't been able to do that a whole ton. And we've had to talk a lot about really just a bad basketball team. So this is kind of going to be fun for us today to get to talk about a couple things that bring back a glimmer of hope, that bring in some creativity, some ideas, some energy surrounding this organization. And the first one of those being the circulated trade rumors with Andre Drummond. Detroit is supposedly engaged in conversations with the Atlanta Hawks, and there's other teams interested in Dre as well. Those teams include maybe Dallas, Boston, Toronto. I know we've talked about Charlotte in the past. I don't believe they were listed in this latest report.
There was a follow-up report by another reporter that said Portland and Charlotte had also shown interest. So, you know, there's a good 5-6 teams that are interested in Drummond. And it's created some buzz around him and you know, what the Pistons may do with him.
Yeah, so you talk about several teams being in the mix there. And Atlanta was the first one. When Woj reported the Pistons were in conversations, it was they engaged with the Atlanta Hawks. And there's a lot of angles to talk about this. There's the angle of what can you get for Dre? Is it worth trading Dre? You know, what's the minimum that you have to get to make it worth trading Dre? And then the other factor is Andre came out and said he's not a quitter. He wants to retire a Piston. He wants to be a Piston for life. Is that him just saying that? Is there sincerity to that? I believe there's some sincerity to that. There's no need to come out, especially in a professional sports world today, that guys hop from team to team and it's really not thought about, you know? So for Dre, who has had no success in terms of winning playoff games and championships in Detroit, for him to say, I'm committed to this city and I want to win here, is that more of a cry for support in the case that he's not traded? Or is that, hey, Dre really does want to win here, and maybe we can do something building around Dre here? What's your take on all that?
Well, I think Drummond's absolutely sincere in his desire to be in Detroit. I mean, this is a guy that's always represented the city well and, you know, has always talked about his roots here, you know, anytime that he does an interview with, you know, a brand, a website, whatever it may be. He always talks about how he enjoys being here, how he's so happy that the Pistons have taking a chance on him and giving him the opportunity. I know I read an article, an interview with Drummond a few weeks ago that talked about, you know, him saying that, you know, he's just, he thinks about it all the time, how blessed he is that Detroit was the team that took him, and Detroit has embraced him, and Detroit has continued to give him the opportunity and has given him a home for the last 7 years. And that's important for some guys. And you know, for Drummond, it genuinely seems like that's the case. There's never been a report that's come out where it's like, oh, Andre Drummond wants out of Detroit. You know, there just hasn't been that. And with big-name players in a smaller market, those kind of things just tend to happen nowadays. And that hasn't happened with Drummond yet. You know, he's always been steadfast in talking about how he wants to be in Detroit. He wants to stay there long-term. Even in, you know, the offseason when he was talking about, oh, I'm going to be an unrestricted free agent, it's going to be fun. You know, he always added that the goal is to stay in Detroit. The goal is to re-up with Detroit. You know, so I do believe that that's a sincere hope and a sincere desire of his. I don't know really if that kind of changes anything for what the Pistons should be doing. You know, it's great that Drummond wants to be here. You know, he's a great player. He, you know, he's made two All-Star teams with the Pistons. But at some point, you kind of have to look and you kind of have to make a decision as a franchise if you can continue to go in the direction that you're going in with the players that you're built around. And Detroit's really at
a crossroad.
And they have to make a decision. And they're 13-23 right now. They're 2-8 in their last 10 games. You know, with their last win coming against the Golden State Warriors as of when we're recording this. So, can you continue to build around Drummond and build around Blake Griffin when the wins aren't coming, the health isn't there, and Drummond is set to be an unrestricted free agent, and he's going to have a lot of teams interested in him based off the fact that all these teams are already trying to trade for him?
He's driving his value up right now. His value is being driven up.
It is.
Which right now is a good thing for Detroit. The longer that takes to move him, that becomes a bad thing. Because then he can say, ah, well, I'll just test the market in free agency. In Detroit, you get nothing. Here's the question, though. Is Dre a guy that Detroit can continue to build around? Or is it imperable that Detroit goes out and finds a new home for Andre Drummond in order to continue forward with reshaping the franchise?
Like, I think Andre Drummond is a really good basketball player, and I've maintained that philosophy since, you know, he really started to showcase what he could do 3-4 seasons ago. You know, I always have felt highly about what Andre Drummond has done and what he can continue to do and grow into. But the Pistons right now, again, 13-23, outside of the playoff race right now, things are not going in their direction in terms of competing, in terms of winning. And would Andre Drummond be a really good third piece? Yes, he would be. Right now, he's the first piece. Blake has not been anywhere near the level he's needed to be at this season. He's also hurt. Reggie Jackson has been out. You know, obviously, Drummond's play goes up when he's on the court, but he's not reliable enough to trust that he'll ever be back on that court in a Piston uniform. Yes, Derrick Rose has been good. You know, yes, Luke Kennard has been good. But those guys both missed time. I mean, Kennard's out right now. Rose is limited in what he can do in terms of games played and in terms of minutes per game played. There's no star on this team healthy right now. Andre Drummond is not a star. He's a very good third player and probably still a really good second best player. But he needs a star. He's just not the kind of guy that leads the team by himself as a top dog. He doesn't create enough offense for himself or for others to be in that category.
So does re-signing Dre necessarily mean he has to be the best player in the top dog?
Unless Blake Griffin is, you know, going to come get healthy and get back into form that he played in last year, then I think by de facto, Drummond is.
Well, let me ask this. Is Blake Griffin a movable piece? Is Blake Griffin a guy that Detroit can ship elsewhere, even if the return is marginal?
Right now, I don't think you're really going to get any value for Blake Griffin. So if you want to move Blake Griffin, you know, you're going to have to accept that what you're doing and what you're getting back in that trade is probably just matching salary, and you hope that it's on an expiring pair of contracts.
Right.
And I don't think you want to sell that low on Blake Griffin. I think you'll be able to do that in the offseason. or you'll be able to do that even next year if you're just going to trade to match salaries. Because I'm not sure if you're getting an asset back for Blake Griffin right now. To be fair, he has not stayed healthy this year, and when he's been healthy, he's been a negative basketball player on the court. His shooting percentages are putrid. His turnovers are putrid. He has not been good when he's played. So if I'm, you know, a team right now, unless I'm a team like the Los Angeles Lakers, and I have LeBron, and I have Anthony Davis, and I could say, well, you know, Blake's going to come here. He's going to be the third option. He's not going to get 55 touches a game like he does with the Pistons. We're going to put him in a position to succeed, and he's not going to have to log the minutes and the stress that he would in Detroit. I think we could make it work. You know, unless something like that is happening, I'm not sure Blake Griffin provides much value for anyone right now. So if you're trading Blake Griffin, you're matching salaries, and, you know, you're getting expirings, and you're clearing the books.
So let's say Detroit does do that. Let's say they go and they trade Blake Griffin, and they can find matching salaries. Hopefully it's expiring deals. Maybe you have to take on an extra year's worth of a salary in order to move Blake. It allows you to re-sign Dre. It allows you to start Sekou Doumbouya at the four spot and throughout the rest of this year, and if necessary, next, even if they're not winning, those two building chemistry together. It allows you to this year draft, hopefully, a starter for the future for the Pistons. And whether you draft a three, whether you draft a one, or if you draft for some reason a four-man and decide to move Sekou to the three, which I would not be for. I would hope that Sekou remains in that four-man spot and they draft another ball-dominant wing. Then does that help Detroit in the long term? Does that help them move forward into, yes, they may have to take one extra year of holding on to an expiring deal. They may not make a splash in free agency, but Sekou gets a chance to develop. Sekou, Dre, and Luke get a chance to develop chemistry on the floor together. You may get one extra season of adding a rookie starter into that mix as well. If Detroit ends up picking in that 7-8 spot where they're kind of projecting to right now, they could possibly, they should be able to get a guy that can come in and start right away. Maybe they can even, you know, put a package together that allows them to move up a spot or two if there's a guy they really like. And you have Bruce as a point guard for the foreseeable future, unless if you draft somebody to take that starting spot from him. Are you opposed to that direction for Detroit?
I am. And again, I like Andre Drummond. I've, again, stayed steadfast in my belief of Andre Drummond. But at that point, you're going to be re-signing Andre Drummond,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to have a very young team around him.
Yep.
And while Drummond's still 26 right now, he's young. By the time that those rest of those guys are ready to win, that first-round pick and Sekou have really developed.
He'll be 29.
And Bruce Brown continues to develop. Drummond's going to be 30, 31 towards the end of that deal.
You think it takes them 4 or 5 years to be ready to win? And I mean, maybe it takes them 4 or 5 years. You know, Sekou's 22, 23, and all of a sudden he's in a position to, like, win a championship. But to win, and by win, I guess you could look at that as, you know, win playoff series, be a contender, a top-five team in the Eastern Conference. You think that's a five-year process, depending who they draft? If they get a difference maker in the draft this year, are they still 4 or 5 years away from winning?
They might be. I mean, Sekou is, again, the youngest player in the NBA. They're going to be drafting a young player.
Can we talk about that young player for 1 second?
We will. But they're going to be drafting a young player.
Yep.
In what's considered to be a pretty weak draft class. They don't have a second-round pick this year as of now. And then they have a lot of roster to fill out after that. So my philosophy is you have Christian Wood. He's an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season. He's a few years younger than Drummond. He's more so on the timeline of Sekou, of this next draft pick, of the young guys on the roster. Wood's part of that young core. He's got a few years more than Drummond does in terms of age. He's a little bit younger. You can build with him. Or you can at least try to, because I think there's a player there in Wood.
Okay.
He's shown a lot. And again, you know, I'm wishing Andre Drummond the best. I want him to go to a team that has a good point guard and a team that will run the pick and roll, and he'll thrive. And the national media will get to see that, oh, Andre Drummond was actually a good player this entire time. Because for some reason, the national media thinks Andre Drummond grabs rebounds and does nothing else. So, you know, I'm rooting for him to go to a place where he is maximized and where he gets to play for a team that fits him. But in terms of what the Pistons should be doing as a franchise, it is time for them to move on. It's time for them to embrace the next core, the next young group to start building with and to continue to build with.
So what does Detroit get from Atlanta, or what does Detroit demand from Atlanta if a trade is to be put together?
Baseline starts with DeAndre Hunter or the Brooklyn first-round pick for this year. You know, the Brooklyn first-round pick is probably going to be around 16, 17, 18, 19, you know, probably around that range. So it's, you know, a mid-first outside the lottery. It's not a great value pick, but it's a first-round pick. And, you know, Atlanta's a team that is interested in Drummond, and if you can pry DeAndre Hunter away from them to appease them into getting Drummond, you know, you absolutely do that. I would value Hunter more than I would this year's first-round pick, because I think you can plug in Hunter as a guy that fits this team's projection long-term.
Is he a starting small forward of the future?
I think you give him that opportunity to be. You know, obviously he's not shooting the ball great this year, but he can shoot from beyond the arc. He defends, and he's had a couple games this year where he's actually scored really well, and he's you know, bursted out for some nice performances. So, you know, you're able to put him on the floor. I think he's a guy that plugs in well next to Sekou and Luke Kennard on the wing, and you know, his style of play is what you want to build with. A guy that defends, has good length at 6'7", and projects to be a 3-and-D guy. You know, that three-point shot, again, only shooting about 35% from beyond the arc this year, which isn't terrible, but, you know, to be of real value, he needs to get that up to, you know, 37-38%, and you know, as a young player in the league, there's plenty of time to do that, and he's shot the ball pretty well at Virginia, so I believe he can do that, and you know, his game will continue to fill out. But at 6'7", you know, coming in with the ability, the athleticism, the talent that he has, as a guy that I think fits this team, DeAndre Hunter's on the top of the list of guys that could potentially be of return in a trade that involves Andre Drummond. So I think you start with Hunter or the first round pick. You got to get one of those from Atlanta. And then when it comes to the rest of that deal, you're pretty much matching salaries. So you're looking at an Evan Turner. You're looking at a Chandler Parsons. You know, maybe you get Atlanta if they aren't willing to trade Hunter. They're only willing to trade that first-round pick, then maybe you're lucky enough to get them to throw in Bruno Fernando, and you have another big man to kind of test the waters with. I know myself, Ryan, and you were all pretty big fans of Fernando in the draft process, so you know that's a guy that could be of interest for Detroit as well. So Atlanta has some chips that Detroit should be interested in. I'm cautious of Cam Reddish. Didn't really love him at Duke. I know Ryan's a Dukie. I enjoy watching Duke basketball, but I did not enjoy Cam Reddish last year, and he hasn't played well so far in the NBA. One of the least efficient players in the league. So I would steer clear of Reddish. Your top priority from Atlanta is DeAndre Hunter. Once you get past him, you're looking at the Brooklyn first-round pick for this year. Bruno Fernando, you're matching salary the rest of the way. And if a trade goes down with Atlanta, I would expect Chandler Parsons back. Just because he has the highest salary on the roster, and he's a good friend of Blake Griffin's, and if the Pistons are keeping Blake Griffin, which all signs currently point to, you know, bringing in Blake's best friend, I'm sure, saying, you know, for the rest of the season, I'm sure they would have no problem doing.
Well, that's a fair point, and at least Parsons is a guy, if you bring that deal back to match some salary, if he pairs well with Blake, and they'll instantly have some chemistry on the floor.
He won't be playing.
Well, you don't think he'll get in some rotational minutes?
I really don't think so. He's not playing in Atlanta. He's just hurt. He's always hurt.
No, I guess that's fair. I wonder what else Detroit's going to do here around the All-Star break. Whether the trade's Atlanta, maybe they look to trade Dre elsewhere. Dallas is an interesting one. I'm not really sure what a package from Dallas looks like.
Yeah, Dallas would be a great fit for Andre, I think. I think, you know, Luka and the pick and roll with Drummond is great. I think you know, bringing in a defender alongside Kristaps Porzingis
would
be great.
Have the double bigs like that with Kristaps and Dre. It could be what Blake and Dre were supposed to be.
but Dallas just doesn't have the juice to put together really a worthwhile package, and right. That's their problem.
Yeah.
They don't have the first-round pick since they've already, you know, traded those away, and they don't really have the young players on the roster to trade away.
So then there's Boston. And Boston, to me, just, it's another one. I don't see them trading one of their young foundational pieces to get Dre. You know what I mean?
They're a team that could really use Drummond as well. You know, in an ideal world for them, they're able to keep everything intact and add Drummond and match salaries and maybe send out a first-round pick. You know, for Detroit, they want to get back probably Gordon Hayward and a first-round pick, and they probably want to send back Drummond and Langston Galloway.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's ideal for the Pistons. I don't think Boston bites on that. I think that, you know, Gordon Hayward has had a decent year, and I think that Boston wants to hold on to him. So they have to decide, is Hayward more valuable than Drummond? And is, you know, the first-round pick that they would send out more valuable than Langston Galloway? And, you know, I think Boston would probably say, we're fine. We're going to hold on to Hayward. We're going to hold on to that first-round pick because they don't really have any other salary to match Drummond's contract unless it's a Gordon Hayward.
So then, of the other teams in the mix, is there anybody else that you see right now that could put together a formidable offer for Dre that also is a realistic suitor for going after him? I mean, Toronto was linked.
Yeah, that one's interesting to me.
Yeah.
Because they have Marc Gasol. Obviously, he's hurt right now. But they have Serge Ibaka as well. They have Pascal Siakam. So they have, you know, three big guys.
I mean, a deal centered around Siakam. I mean, that's fine.
Right,
you know?
Right. Well, we already have the next Siakam and Sekou, so.
Hey, well, if we can have double Siakam,
yeah.
I'll take it. I'll take my chances on that.
But, you know, they're an interesting team because they already have three, you know, big guys between the 4 and 5 spot that play pretty big roles on the team. And, you know, so you're probably getting Marc Gasol back in that deal. Marc Gasol or Serge Ibaka. And then a first-round pick. And I don't really know what else.
I don't love it, though.
And well, I don't really love that either because
that pick's going to be in the 20s.
It's going to be in the, you know, 25s, probably. Yeah. I mean, if you put Lowry, Siakam, Drummond, Van Fleet together, you know, Toronto's already doing really well this year. Drummond would really, really help them.
Now, Fred Van Fleet coming back to Detroit? Ooh.
Yeah, well, have fun paying him in the offseason.
Interest would peak. You're going to have a little money to play with.
Yeah, but
you're gonna have a little money.
You
want to
drop $25 million, $30 million on Fred Van Fleet?
Is that what he's going to command?
That was some stuff that I believe Zach Lowe was talking about. Was there's, you know, a belief that a team could throw around $30 million at him, and I'm not interested in playing that game.
Well, okay, I'm not going to throw $30 million. You're saying $30 million a year? At
yeah,
Fred Van Fleet.
Yeah, I mean he's good,
but
not that good.
No.
So, you know, I think that's an interesting spot. All these teams could really use Drummond.
Right.
But putting together the package to get him, and, you know, I think people from Detroit have to understand, right now Drummond's on an expiring deal. He does have the player option, but all signs have indicated that he's opting out of that. So
he wants the long-term security, and that makes financial sense.
So teams, you know, have to be cautious. They could very well be looking at a rest-of-the-season rental, which means you're not getting back actual value, you know, that same value for Drummond.
Which hurts Detroit.
Now, if you got, you know, if the team was able to get Drummond to commit to re-upping or commit to locking into that player option for next year for $28 million, then it's a different ball game. But there's no indication that that's happening. So I wouldn't really think that, you know, I think it's going to be tough for Detroit to get a great package out of this. And I think Atlanta, at the end of the day, might have the best offer because Charlotte's not getting rid of Devontae Graham, which at the beginning of the year when, you know, I was talking about a potential trade sending Drummond to Charlotte, I was interested in getting Devontae Graham back. That's not happening now. Miles Bridges has not been good this year in Charlotte whatsoever. So, you know, he may be bad. He may just need a change of scenery. I'm not sure. You know, Malik Monk isn't anything to write home about. They're not going to give up PJ Washington the way he's playing. So I'm not sure what you're really going to get back from them either, unless they're willing to trade that first-round pick. And considering that's likely lottery-bound, I don't know if they'll be willing to do that.
I was going
to
say, if you get the pick back, then it's like, yeah, match the salaries up, take the first round pick. And if anything, if you're Detroit now, now that gives you two first rounders where you can get either two guys or trade up to get the guy you want.
Right.
So there is significant value there. But DeAndre Hunter coming over from Atlanta seems to be the most promising return for Detroit. The thing is, you talk about Boston and Gordon Hayward. Are you thrilled about that if you're Detroit? You're going to get like the 24th pick in the draft, if not, and maybe below that, maybe 25, 26, 27. But let's just say you get the 24th pick in the draft, and yeah, you get Gordon Hayward, but does that help you?
No, and that's the thing. You know, if Detroit's trading Drummond, they're saying we want to rebuild.
Right.
And Gordon Hayward, you know, he's still pretty young, but at the end of the day, he still doesn't fit the timeline.
How old is Hayward?
Is he a guy?
27?
I think he's right around there. Now, is Hayward a guy that I think would age a little bit more gracefully? Would his game still fit the NBA when he's 30, 31, 32?
Probably.
Yes. You know, Drummond at 32, a big man that, you know, plays with athleticism, that's tough to see stay.
A lot of wear and tear.
Yeah. Hayward's a guy that I think would gracefully play, you know, gracefully age to where he could still be of use if you re-sign him and whatnot.
And how many years does he have?
He's on the same. He's got the same deal as Drummond. He's an expiring but has a player option for the summer. So, you know, I'm sure he'll. I don't know what his plans are, honestly. I don't want to say I'm sure he'll opt in. I'm sure he'll opt out because, you know, he had that injury last year, or he had the injury 2 years ago, came back last year, kind of struggled, been better this year. So I don't really want to say, you know, act like I know when I really don't know with him.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think Detroit, if they can get Hayward in that first, has to look at that one, or you know, if they're able to pry DeAndre Hunter.
You look at it because, it allows you to just kind of move on from Dre. And now you don't have a loyalty to Gordon Hayward. Even if Gordon Hayward comes here and plays well and he opts out, you have no loyalty to go back and sign him.
Right.
Whereas Dre, you're at least going to have the conversation, and then you're going to start playing that mind game of, well, what if we do this? And we can maybe go about it that way. And we can plug in this piece here. So it's a very different ball game
right. When
you start talking about those two guys. So that's kind of the first topic of the pod, is everything surrounding Andre Drummond. The second topic is centered around last year's first-round pick and, you know, maybe the biggest future piece that Detroit has right now in Sekou Doumbouya. Two starts, two double-doubles as he started versus the Clippers and then against the Warriors. The Pistons going 1-1 in that stretch as well. But Sekou looking good. I didn't realize he could shoot the three. In spots that he's shown he could shoot it. But he's played pretty well. He gets to the rim. He does a lot of good things.
Welcome to the league, Sekou. Now go guard Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, and then go get guarded by Draymond Green in your next game. Have fun.
Thank God Draymond Green got thrown out.
Yeah. You know what? Couldn't be more impressed with Sekou. And the thing I'm going to say right off the bat is he's a very fast learner. He's a very fast developer because he went into the G League this year. I mean, we saw him in preseason, and he just didn't look ready.
Mm-hmm.
Went into the G League. It took him a couple games to get his feet wet. You know, he had shown in those first games that he had the talent, and, you know, just based off of his talent alone, he was good enough to stand out on the court. But once he really got his feet wet, he just had no business being in the G League. And he's developed so quickly, so rapidly. The outside jump shot, something that he didn't do very well overseas, and you know, he was not heralded as this good shooter. You know, there were times where he would go off and he would hit 5 3-pointers, but an inconsistent one and an untrustworthy one. But he has really developed that outside shot. And I know the Pistons talked about it in the pre-draft process when they went to his workout and he hit 15 in a row, and he came into the G League and was knocking down outside shots. His progression there has been rapid. His growth as a rebounder has been rapid. I mean, I remember, you know, the stuff coming out of the G League early in the season was, you know, Sekou just doesn't really know how to rebound. He doesn't know how to go after it and position himself. And, you know, the Grand Rapids Drive focused on instilling that energy in him, you know, that drive in him to go after those rebounds. And he's come in and he's, you know, averaged double-digit rebounds. He had 11 against the Clippers and 10 against Golden State. He's come out, and he's really impressed. And he played good defense in both the games. He did foul a few times. You know, he had foul trouble, certainly against the Clippers. Picked up some fouls against Golden State as well. I know the Pistons were a little bit more careful with him in that game when it came to the foul issues. But, He's really impressed on both ends of the floor. I mean, he was 4 or 5 from beyond the arc, or 3 or 4 from beyond the arc.
Well, that was the thing.
Against Golden State.
He was efficient shooting the three. Found him on a couple kickouts. There was the pitchback one he got. It was just like,
and how about
like
the sequence
this.
Where he blocked Damian Lee at the rim,
yep,
stared him down, trailed, and dropped down the wing, or the dropped down the right wing three-pointer.
Yep.
That was really nice.
That was the pitchback I was referring to.
Yeah.
He trails the play, gets that nice kick out, and it's just like, bang.
You know,
it was nice.
We talked about Sekou as a project, as a kid that's probably not going to see the floor a lot this year, and that was under the belief that the Pistons were going to be winning ball games, they were going to be competing for a meaningful playoff spot. That hasn't been the case, and to be honest, I didn't even know if Sekou would get minutes if the Pistons were playing bad. You know, I was thinking that they would probably keep him in the G League and just stick him there, make that his home, and go from there. But given the way that he's played in these two opportunities, he has kind of cemented himself as a person that, at least for now, deserves every single minute he's getting on that court. When he was on the court yesterday, the Pistons played very well. And he's a guy that seems to grow more and more comfortable on the court each and every minute he's out there. And that's really good to see. Again, it goes back to him being a quick learner, a quick developer. It's good that Sekou's going to continue to get thrown into the fire. It's great that he has come out and responded this way and has played this well in his first real minutes of action. It's really promising for the Pistons.
You know what's nice about trading Dre, too, is that you can slide Blake to the 5 and you can start Sekou the rest of the year.
Well, Blake might die if he gets played at the 5.
He won't die. He'll be fine.
I don't know, dude. I don't even know if we'll see Blake suit up again this year.
We may not.
Like, he's really...
Well, that's the thing. Hold on. I want to talk about that, because that was kind of what I wanted to close the podcast with. Let's talk about Sekou for just a couple more minutes, though.
Yeah.
And the fact of, I want to continue to see Sekou start, and even if Blake gets healthy, then maybe you start him at the 3.
I'm okay with that. I mean, Tony Snell's nice. You know, he's a good player. He hits threes. You got to invest in your future right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Sekou had 16 points, 10 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals, and a block. 6 of 10 shooting. You know, knocked down 4 of his 7 three-point attempts against Golden State. Was a team best, plus 19. I just don't understand how he doesn't play. You know, how can you say... You got to go back down to the G League now, Sekou.
Right.
You can't.
No. He's on the roster.
You can't stick him on the end of the bench either.
No, he's in the rotation. It's just a matter of starting or not starting. And a guy that's going to get lost in the mix is a guy like either it's going to be Thon, or it's going to be Markieff, or it's going to be Tony Snell,
well,
or it's going to be Spee.
This opens up the ability for the Pistons to try to get some value from Markieff, because Markieff, when he's played, has honestly played pretty well this
year.
Yes,
he has.
I've been surprised with how well he's kind of fit in.
He can go to a contender and be a really nice rotational piece.
He's hitting shots. He's rebounding. You know, he's played within himself, and he's on a very team-friendly deal.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he has a player option for next year, but it's a cheap one.
Right.
So, you know, between him and Galloway and Rose, the Pistons could kind of sell and bring in some, you know, pretty nice assets, I'd imagine, you know, in terms of replenishing some picks.
Right.
Maybe getting a young flyer or two. But, you know, this should give the opportunity for Sekou, whether he starts or comes off the bench, to, one, get a lot of minutes, because I think either way he'll play a lot of minutes, and two, just kind of get comfortable and get that NBA feel to his game and get that experience under his belt. You know, I think Thon is, I mean, right now he's playing because of Blake Griffin being out and Markieff Morris being out, but Thon is so far out of the rotation, it's funny. I mean, Sekou, you know, Thon went in against Golden State and Sekou came out, and Christian Wood had made a mistake, or there was some configuration where Thon came in and Sekou was on the bench for literally like a minute or two, and Sekou came right back in for Thon Maker. Thon is so far gone that it's not even funny. I'm sorry. You know, I was hopeful Thon could contribute. He had some nice moments last year. Had that game winner against the Hawks.
He had all those summer workout videos.
All those summer workout videos, man. Really looked like he was about to explode. Kevin Garnett called him a future MVP. It's just not happening. It's just he's not figured out how to play the game yet, and he hasn't put on the muscle and doesn't have the coordination to play the game yet at a high level. So, you know, when you have guys like Christian Wood and Sekou Doumbouya that have that youth, that have that potential, and then you already have guys like Blake Griffin and Andre Drummond and Markieff Morris. There's just really no opportunity for Thon Maker to get a chance to develop. And, you know, he was already given that opportunity as well, and he hasn't really showcased much. So, unfortunately for him, you know, he's biding his time.
Took a flyer.
That's what you got to do. Exactly. You take a flyer. One time it hits, you know, that one time it hits will make it worth it the other three times it doesn't.
100%.
So, I'm completely fine with it.
Completely. So, the final thing I think we need to discuss, what do you do with Blake Griffin? Do you look to move him? Do you keep him? Do you shut him down for the year? Do you shut him down for at least a month? Do you try to preserve it so where, hey, you're going to make a move and you're going to try to, you know, have Blake for next year. But does having Blake hamper Sekou long term? Does that actually hurt you by trying to prolong the Blake experiment? But do you have to preserve Blake in order to drive some value up so you can trade him next year? I mean, there's a lot of thoughts
to be had here. It's a loaded question. It's a loaded question. And not sure that I have the best answer for anyone. Blake doesn't have the value right now. And that's tough because if you're trading Andre Drummond, you're starting a rebuild, you don't need Blake Griffin.
Right.
Reggie Jackson hasn't played a game yet this year. There's talk that he's close to returning, but at this point it really doesn't matter. You have two guys on your roster that don't really need to see the floor again this year in Blake Griffin and Reggie Jackson. Jackson's an expiring contract. He's with the Pistons the rest of the way. Blake Griffin, on the other hand, if you can move him, you have to try to move him. You have to see what's out there for him right now. You have to see if there's a team that thinks that, you know, putting Blake in a smaller role, giving him a little bit of time to get a little bit more healthy, and going from there, you got to see if there's a team out there that feels that's something that they can do. And just kind of go from there. Because Blake doesn't have a ton of value. And you're not going to get a ton of value back for him. It's just what it is at this point. That's really tough to say because of the season he had last year and what he has meant to Detroit. And it's now about two seasons here since he got traded. But it is what it is. Mm-hmm. It really is. If the Pistons are holding on to Blake Griffin, he should not play another game this year. He just needs to get healthy. Let your knee, your Achilles, your back, whatever, let your entire body recover.
Yeah.
If you think you still got the juice, preserve yourself for next year. Because you've said you've had the juice this year, and you have not played well, you've hurt the team. So if the Pistons want to hold on to him and they want to give him another chance, I'm not going to say that's a terrible decision. I don't think it's a good decision because I think you should be clearing money, you know, be trying to bring back assets if possible and rebuilding. But if they're holding on to him, Blake needs to be shut down for the season and he needs to be rehabbing, just resting, getting healthy, you know, all those kind of things. And going from there.
What I'd like to know is, I mean, if you're going to look at trading trading Blake in the offseason, then I think you need to shut Blake down until after the All-Star break, and then you try to bring him back to let him show some value.
Yeah.
So you're able to move him.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's what Detroit's looking
if
at.
If you're looking at moving him now, then even though, if Blake's saying he can play, you play him, you know? If you're looking at moving him, if you're going to shop him over the next few weeks, then you let him play, because it's still a business, and I love Blake, but I mean it's a business. Go out and play, show your value, so you can get to a good spot, you know. Or if you are going to keep him and you're not going to trade him away, which he'll have what, 2 years left on his deal after this, or one more? Does he have one more year left, or does he have two?
Two.
He has two, right? So if you're going to say, hey, we got two more years of Blake, and we're not moving him, then you better shut him down and do not let him play the rest of the year. Don't. You might as well let him rest. You might as well trade Dre. You might as well tank for the best pick you can get and give Sekou all the opportunity to develop. And if Blake comes back, and let's say Sekou solidifies himself in a starting role, well, then, you know, maybe you have to make a weird decision to let Sekou start and Blake come off the bench.
Well, there goes all his trade value.
Well, but if you're committing to not moving him, trade value doesn't matter.
The thing with Sekou is I think Sekou needs to be able to play the three as well. He's a guy at 6'9 that should be able to play both spots.
Yeah.
So he needs to develop at both spots, especially in today's league. You've got to be able to.
You can do some rotational things where he plays minutes at both the three and absolutely. The four.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
You know, play him with the starting group, pull him early. You know,
and then he rests Blake.
Then when you take Blake out, you go back to Sekou and give Sekou his minutes and let him vary at the three and the four. And you can find a way to do that.
Oh, yeah.
And then nights that you rest Blake, you can start Sekou at the four and slide somebody else in at the three. Unless if you have another option, you want to start at the four. But I think you should be looking
a lot of that longer. Stuff is interchangeable now.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of these young guys, they're playing the 2-3-4.
Yeah.
Sekou needs to be able to play the 3 and 4.
Yep.
He's, you know, just turned 19 years old. He's 6'9". He can do it. Develop that ball handling. Develop that ability to defend both threes and fours. You got to be able to do that stuff, you know, if you're going to be a marquee player.
Agreed.
You look at the younglings in the league today. Giannis plays the 3 and 4. Jaylen Brown plays the 3 and 4. Jason Tatum plays the 3 and 4. All these young forwards, they interchange. Pascal Siakam played the 3 and 4 when he was younger. I mean, now, obviously, he's primarily a 4. He's solidified
at the 4. But
he had minutes at all three spots.
He's as good of a 4 as he is because he played the 3. And that's something you got to understand. To where, you know, then it's a guy like Tony Snell that, sorry, dude.
Yeah, I mean, Snell, hey, he can come off the bench. But, I mean, this is the thing with Tony Snell. And, you know, he's had an opportunity with guys out to get some more shot opportunities, make himself impact the game a little bit more, and he just hasn't.
And maybe Tony Snell could be another guy you look at moving.
If there's value for him, you know, I think it's going to be tough because he's got a $12 million option for next year, or
yeah.
he might just be under a contract next year.
I don't think it's option.
So you know, he's not cheap money, but I mean, he can play. He's a good role player.
Yeah,
but he's just not a guy that goes out there and has those games where he goes off or cements himself.
A team looking to
he
add
goes
depth.
With the flow. If he gets the ball, great. If he doesn't, he doesn't really care.
A team looking to add some depth. You could even maybe package Markieff and Tony Snell together.
Yeah, you know? Could. And you could take an expiring contract back if there was a team that had if there was a winning team that wanted to add some depth.
Boston?
Gordon Hayward? And had a contract. Yeah, I mean, well, obviously not Boston in that scenario. But, you know, if there was a winning team that had some money, you know, had an expiring contract and wanted to get some value and would maybe throw in, you know, a second round pick or something. By all means.
Sure.
Take that asset. I'm all for taking the assets because then
I'm glad you're finally on this page.
If you want to go out and you want to make a trade or you want to move up, whatever. Have as many assets as possible.
It's just the maturing of Aaron Johnson. Folks, if you follow the podcast, you continue to see it. Actually, you continue to hear it right upon your very ears. With his podcast takes, you read it, you see it with your own eyes when you read his articles. I mean, the guy finally is getting
it. It's weird because, you know, NBA players are finally starting to get younger than me. Sekou's one of those guys. It's very weird seeing someone younger than me in the NBA. It's weird. Yeah. I've always been used to, like, oh, these guys are just older than me, you know. Now it's like,
I could be that guy. It's like,
I looked at my mom the other day. I'm like, hey, mom, this guy is only he just turned 19. He's younger than me. That could be me. It's just like, I guess I'm that old now.
I guess. I guess. Even though Ryan's not here, as Ryan and I just look at each other like, yeah, welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. But nonetheless, good pod this week. A lot of interesting stuff. So, Dre, of course, we're going to continue to follow that, the whole trade circulation.
And you know what? I want to piggyback off of that. There's a great video right now on the Palace of Pistons YouTube page about Andre Drummond and where he could get traded. It explores some possible trades, the possible destinations. We're very close to 1,000 subscribers on the Palace of Pistons YouTube page. Go watch that video. And hit that subscribe button. Help us reach our goal of 1,000 subscribers. It's a great video out there. I know we've got some more work coming on the Palace of Pistons website, palaceofpistons.com. We should have an article on Sekou coming out on Monday. there's just a ton of stuff coming, and we want your support. We want your feedback. We're excited. 2020 is going to be a big year for us, guys. Hope you're ready to, you know, follow along with us, support us along the way.
Aaron hitting the plugs. You can follow us on Twitter at Palace of Pistons, and you know the drill. Right, like, rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Definitely subscribe to that YouTube channel. And we're going to be all over the Andre trade. We're going to be all over Sekou and his continued development and progression here in the city of Detroit. And hopefully we continue to see a lot more Sekou on the floor for the Pistons, even as maybe they get healthier. We're going to follow the Blake storylines as well, see what the Pistons decide to do with Blake and if they shut him down for an extended period of time or maybe even the season. So a lot of good stuff to follow. And yes, the team right now has not been an entirely fun watch, but maybe you'll enjoy watching them a little bit more, seeing Sekou on the floor. And even if you don't want to watch them on a nightly basis, but you want to know what's still going on, you want the scoop, you know you can check in with Palace of Pistons, and we're going to keep you up to date on what's going on with those Detroit Pistons. So, Aaron, any final thoughts, comments, words?
It's an interesting time. You know, I haven't been able to say that in quite a few podcasts because it's been really crappy the last few times we've podded. So it's an interesting time. There's some stuff that's going on with the Drummond and with the Drummond news and Sekou playing. There's actually some interest with the Pistons again. So buckle up. Let's have some fun. Enjoy the ride. And we'll go from there. We'll talk. We'll have plenty of more podcast discussions. Plenty more articles, YouTube videos, all of that good stuff, all the fill of Pistons content you need right here on Palace of Pistons.
We'll see you next time here on the Palace of Pistons podcast.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.